Fuck.
You thought I hit record already. What's up, guys? This is Zach, and you have just stepped into the dark blue. And man, I just can't get rid of this guy. This is Leif, and I guess he's become kind of my new co-host. So you guys are just gonna have to deal with it. He's speechless.
Oh, I thought you had a whole thing going. I'm gonna crack my boy open.
Oh yeah, he's jumping the gun. He's ready. Having some nitty gritty.
Today we got some matchless nitty gritty from
matchless.
From matchless. From Tumwater, Washington. All right, let's do the thing.
Get it.
What are we talking about today, Zach?
So, guys, today we're gonna talk a little bit about traveling. So I'm actually preparing to go on a trip to Dublin, Ireland, and pretty excited about it. It should be a great trip, but you know, it's been over the last few years here that I've developed a very, I've developed a desire to travel constantly. If I'm not on a plane for too long of a period of time, I get itchy. Like I get that.
Like you need to leave.
Anxious kind
of. Like you're in a prison.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So anyway, Leif and I have both done a little bit of traveling, and I just wanted to talk with you guys a little bit about it today and why it's important for us. So Leif has his matchless nitty gritty, and we're going to get down to the nitty gritty pretty soon here.
Classic.
I am going to be working on a Machine House Brewery oatmeal stout.
This one's delicious.
Is it?
Yeah.
I'm excited for it. I love a dark beer.
The first time I had it, I left it in the freezer for too long, and I put it in the fridge ahead of the next night, and it came out, and then I had a frosted glass, so it came out like a slushy. So it was like a slushy coffee. It was very like melt smooth. And then I got another bottle the next week and had it, and it's like breakfast. It's like if you're a functional alcoholic, there's a perfect breakfast option for you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, not something that
we're not encouraging it,
hoping to be the case here.
All I'm saying is, if you exist in a world, and you're
look
your
how
world,
dark that is, yeah, man.
It's delicious.
It's like, let me put it on the table here. Can we even see it? I feel like it's. All right.
Cheers.
Cheers. So, your favorite word for cheers from which country?
Japan, and I'm blanking on it now. I think, kanpai.
Kanpai.
Yeah, when you drink sake.
Nice.
I was taught that when you drink sake and you have your little, the little shot glass, you cheers, it's kanpai.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like that.
And you yell it. It's gotta be yelled.
That's cool. Yeah. That's, it's for me, it's similar. It's Prost from Germany. I love that one because there's such a social aspect to it. Mm-hmm. Every time somebody gets a new beer.
Yeah.
Prost.
Yeah.
Like you slam your glasses together
like
as hard as
word.
Possible.
It's, it feels good. It rolls off the tongue really. The one. Prost.
Yeah.
It just
right.
feels good.
Yeah, exactly.
I get it.
So, but anyway, so speaking of favorite toast.
All right.
So yes. So speaking of your favorite toast, what is your favorite country that you've ever visited?
To Japan, hands down.
Japan?
Yeah. I've had like Japan's the only place I've traveled to outside of the US where when I landed and I got into like the place that I was going to be for a while, I felt completely comfortable there. Safe, comfortable, like I understood all the things. I didn't have there was no language barrier issue. It's just a super easy country to navigate. or maybe the major cities are easier to navigate than the country, but yeah, I felt like that could have been my home at a time. Or yeah. Maybe it's still an option.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I feel the same way with Scotland. When I landed in Scotland, I felt so just at home, mm-hmm. in my element immediately. Right. The plane touched down and I just had this sense of relief.
Sure.
And
because everyone's white.
Probably, yeah. I'm sure that has something to do with it. God.
Oh. There's no diversity there, right?
Dick.
It's sheep and white people.
You know, I mean, yeah, basically. I mean, yeah. that is where gonorrhea originated, right? That is so it's
if that's true, that is so weird.
I've heard that gonorrhea originated from people having sex with sheep in that area. So I don't know.
That's incredible.
I don't know the validity of it, but
what you know. Where'd you land in Scotland? Where'd you land and where'd you stay?
Well, so when I flew from the US, I flew to London, and London was stressful. Mm-hmm. This was my first international trip. I was by myself. It was something that I had done as kind of a reward to myself. I had just had some major life transitions, mm-hmm. and I was essentially for the year of that transition, I worked toward that international trip. I was going somewhere different every month. At least once a month, I would go to a different city nearby or a different state for a trip.
Cool.
And so I was working toward this international trip to go to the Fringe Festival in Edinburgh, Scotland.
Okay.
And the Fringe Festival is this huge international performing arts festival where it's just every street corner, restaurant, bar, everything is filled with performers, like comedians, bands, variety acts, things like that. And so that was my destination.
Cool.
So I land in London and it's just stressful. The tunnel situation is just like multiple levels of trains going different directions, and getting to the city center where I was trying to go for a hotel room for the night, it was just like, oh my God. And I stepped out of the train for the first person I spoke to, I ordered a coffee from, and they said, for here, takeaway. And I was like, I was tired from traveling. I was just out of sorts, not focused. And I was like, excuse me? And he said, for here or takeaway. And I was like, oh, to go. Got it. So,
yeah.
Yes.
It's weird to it's weird to land in an English-speaking country and have it be like a...
Right. Completely different phraseology. Yeah. I don't know. But
yeah.
Anyway, so I figured it out at any rate. London was a little stressful. Mm-hmm. When I landed there, I spent the night there. It was great. And then I flew to Edinburgh.
Okay.
And when I landed in Edinburgh, Scotland, that's when I was just like at ease. Mm-hmm. Right.
So you didn't spend any time in London other than the layover?
Briefly. Okay. No other time. That was my first time to London.
Okay.
And then when I was leaving, I spent another day in London. We went to Parliament Square and did all that touristy stuff. Cool. So saw the Buckingham Palace, which was phenomenal. Okay. It is quite an experience to have. It's huge and ornate and definitely worth seeing.
Can you do London in a day, do you think?
For the most part, I think you can.
Long weekend, maybe?
Maybe a weekend. But at any rate, Edinburgh is my spot where I've just immediately felt at home.
I don't know anything about Scotland other than the place that I was named after, which was Leith, the lake.
That's cool.
In Scotland.
Yeah.
And that was a...
Is it Loch Leith? Leith Loch?
Maybe. It was interpreted, what we had been, that we physically had been there. And I was like 13. We didn't like explore the country. We literally went from airport to an overnight hotel stay to a castle in the middle of nowhere for like a reunion type thing.
Mm-hmm.
To see like 50 or so other family members. So I don't remember a whole lot. but I do remember liking it there. I remember like rolling green hills, like fog, you know, fog all around, and like staying at a castle. That was pretty sick.
Yeah.
That was my only European experience.
Okay.
Yeah. Ever. For sure.
So tell these guys a story that is just really memorable for you in terms of traveling. Like, I'm sure you've been to multiple places.
Yeah.
What's one of the most memorable stories you have?
Sure. Obviously my favorite place to be. So I'll give you like an overview of Japan, but the craziest stuff ever happened to me in Thailand. And I've been to other places. Like, I've been to the Caribbean, I've been to South America, I've been to Mexico. I haven't really explored Europe yet and Africa, but those are places that I want to be next. And then I want to kind of tackle like New Zealand, Australia, if it's not on fire. So Japan is super cool. You get there, there's like the train system is like a spider web. So there's loops, and then there's trains that go from the city center all the way out. So it's really, everything is super accessible. The trains are super fast, so you can be anywhere you want to be within half an hour if you're not going to like the next largest city. So like, we did Osaka one day. I was traveling with my best friend. He's a photographer, and he's based out of LA. And a lot of the bigger trips I've done with him. And so he's always looking for something some event to like photograph. So we go to like the most picturesque kind of places. So we went to Osaka. We go to the like biggest sumo tournament on the planet. And that in itself was like a spectacle. Like, that was the most fun I had at any sporting event. It's like everyone from like 1 to 99, like getting hammered, eating like these weird snacks, like dried octopus babies. And like, everyone has like these dollar beers, like old people are whipping pillows across the stadium and stuff. And there's like the largest people you've ever seen, pushing themselves off this, like, pushing each other off this like sand mound.
Yeah.
And like the interim like flags that they like make and like wave and this like performance piece in the middle of everything. It's like so crazy to me.
That sounds really cool.
Yeah, it was dope. I mean, like, everyone needs to go to Japan. Everyone needs to go there. It's the cleanest place ever. They don't have bin, like trash bins in your apartment units.
Yeah.
It's like, you can't even have trash like around your building. You have to take that to like a train station and dispose of it. Like, it's a very strange system, but it's like an unspoken thing where like you need to remove every piece of garbage, or you need to eat out more, and it's like really affordable to eat out. No one really has a kitchen for the most part. When you walk around, it's like kind of brutalist and very simple. So everything is like kind of monotone and like straight lines, and everything's very symmetrical. Just like the streets.
Minimalist.
Yeah, very minimalist. The buildings are like flat, and like they've got these like, it's simple, but it's intricate.
Yeah.
It's a very busy city. The alleys are crazy. The alleys are where like you get the best foods and stuff like that. And Red Light District was kind of crazy because it's like, as soon as like it gets dark, it's like people are in the streets trying to pull you into these like underground bars and stuff.
Nice.
And then pachinko is like a big thing. You go to these like game spots and like you can get inside. You know, when you go to an arcade and you play the little race car games, you're sitting in the seat and you're just like doing this thing.
Yeah.
They have pods that you get inside of, and you can be like a robot, like, and this machine is like twirling all around, and you can be in there for like half an hour for $5, just like fighting people from all over the planet. So that was Japan. Japan was super cool.
Is that where your story comes from? Your most memorable story?
My most memorable story is Thailand, because it was hard. I want to put emphasis on the fact that everyone should be going to Japan and maybe living there, and like we should. Like, that is the society, that is the framework that the rest of the planet should be working on.
Nice. So why was Thailand so hard?
So Thailand, shouldn't go there alone, for sure. And that was my first big alone experience outside of the country.
Yeah.
In a place where like they don't really speak English. Like,
yeah.
It's not a big thing there. It's a touristy place. It's very easy to like point at photos and pay a certain dollar amount and go to a thing or like have food or whatever.
Yeah.
But it is very much so like It's like rough out there. When I landed, first of all, in a lot of other places outside of the US, the like finding things on Google Maps outside of landmarks, like big landmarks, that's like not a thing. Like you don't go on Google Maps and choose a place and then go to that place. Nobody knows what you're talking about. No one, I don't know. It's a system of like symbols and districts and provinces and stuff that you have to kind of identify and then choose a landmark and then go directionally from there. So that already in itself is pretty difficult. And I met the place that I was staying at, I met three or four people that were like pretty interesting right around my age from the US and from London and then one guy from Japan. And so I kind of stuck with them the entire time. And there was this one night where there was this like crazy sequence of events. This was within my first three nights in Thailand. I flew into Bangkok.
Yeah.
Go to my stay. I go down to the like hotel thing bar and I meet these people. We're all sitting kind of across from each other. It was a long night. We all introduced each other ourselves to each other and we were like, we're gonna kick it. We're gonna hang out in Bangkok for as long as we're here.
Yeah.
And so we all drank at the bar that night, exchange information, we're on WhatsApp, and the next night we plan to go to Khao San Road, which is the party road. That's where like everyone tells you to go, like experience the nightlife there and the street food and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So we all meet up and then we take a tuk-tuk from wherever we are to some place. And then we take another cab to Lumpini and we go shopping. Lumpini is where like Muay Thai boxing like started. And Khao San Road is around there. So I got all my souvenirs, went to Khao San Road and we're hanging out in a bar. After we had like kind of walked the entire strip and had a bunch of drinks and stuff, we're fairly fucked up. And, we stop at a place and we do, and some guy is like $2 and he's got these balloons and he's like sucking on the balloon and he's like $2, $2. And everyone's like, what's going on over there?
Yeah.
So, he lures us in. We're the only people who go into this dark closed down shop. Right. And
that sounds like something you would do.
Yeah. And I'm like, I'm interested in the balloons thing over here. Like, I don't care. Like, I've had enough drinks. I've had enough food. Like, I want to know what's going on with these balloons right here.
Yeah.
So the four of us line up. We go into this dark closed down shop and they're handing us balloons and they're telling us to inhale. And I didn't realize it was like kind of like whippets. Like they were filling the balloons with like nitrous or whatever. Right. That could be the thing. And they're inhaling, and so we're essentially doing whippets, and I had never done this before, so it didn't connect in my mind what was happening, but I had done it, and my brain just goes, wow, and everything's like metal, like my teeth chatter, and it's like metal, like striking, and then it goes away after a few seconds, and then you're just like, everyone looks at each other, just like, well, we gotta do that again. So we get like 3-4 more balloons and then we all finish like the whippets, whatever. And we tip the guys and then we walk out of there and stumble into a bar. And I went with one of the girls that I had met up with to this place. And then the two guys wanted to go have like a quick meal. So they go into another spot to eat. And then they said they would meet us up here.
Yeah.
While I was at this bar with this girl, we're just sitting there talking. It's at the very end of Khao San, where you can like catch public transportation. Cause I was like, I'm an early bird. I wake up at 5 a.m, 5:30 a.m, no matter jet lag, nothing, any of that. And I need to be in bed by like 10, the latest. And, so it's like getting there, it's getting pretty late. It's like 8:30 at night. We're sitting in this bar and it's relatively empty and we've been drinking beers all night, so I go to the bathroom, and it's like an open kind of, it's literally just on the way to the kitchen, open stall,
yeah,
toilet, and I have to pee. So I go pee. Someone had left their phone on the top of the toilet. So I finish up, and I grab the phone, and I'm walking towards the bar. Instantly, attacked by these three women. Like, these three women come flit. I have the phone up in my hands. They come, like, running up towards me. I don't understand what's going on. I'm just being yelled at.
Yeah.
And I was literally walking up to the bar, about to set the phone down on the bar, call the bartender over and say, hey, like, kind of.
Yeah, this was in the bathroom.
Yeah, this was in the bathroom type thing.
Yeah.
And I never got that opportunity.
Yeah.
These three women come up to me. I'm getting scratched. I'm getting tugged on. I have the phone in my hand. The one girl, like, pulls the phone out of my hand. The girl that I'm,
man,
like, kind of hanging out with is on the other side of the bar going, what the hell is going on? And yeah. She doesn't know shit. You know, right. We don't know the language. We don't know what the fuck is going on. But I'm just like, it was in the bathroom. I'm just trying to give it back. I get attacked. This bouncer pulls me. He's huge jack dude. Starts to tug on me, pulls me out of the bar. The girl that I'm with is coming over. She's like trying to like intervene and like talk to them, whatever little tie she knows.
Yeah.
And they were not having it. And so it became a situation where like I was misunderstood and they thought I was like stealing a phone, but really I had literally just picked it up and walked 3 feet with it in my hand, like trying to give it away.
Yeah.
And I like I was, you know, the common good. And yeah, they were not having it. So I got pulled outside. I didn't understand what was going on. I got taken away by police.
Yeah.
By the cops in town. They drove me to me and my friend, the girl that I was with, and actually someone else. The girls went in a separate car. I saw them inside the station behind a partition, and they're, you know, talking and giving whatever their side of the story. And this one German guy came to try to like defend me because he was the only one who understood what was going on. He was like, hey, like, I'll come with you guys. Like, we're not doing anything. We're close by. It was like some rich dude. And he comes with us, or he meets us there. We all like reconvene. There's like 12 of these Lumpini like cops, and they're all jacked, and they're all like bloodstained uniforms. Like, these guys are not fucking around. Right. And I'm just like, hey, it's my birthday. I went to a bar to have drinks. I found this phone to the one guy who knew English there.
Yeah.
I was just trying to give it back. I got scratches all around my neck. I don't know why they're not being questioned or they're not being arrested. They came over and fucked me up for like a misunderstanding. And then it became a situation where like I was negotiating my way out of going to jail and having to go to court.
Yeah.
So we're sitting there. The girl doesn't know what's going on. She's sitting off to the side. She's like, whatever happens, like, I'll just take care of, like, our cab back to the Airbnb. And the guy's, like, trying to, like, talk to them in Thai. And they're just like, oh, they don't believe you. Like, they're trying to say, like, you're going to spend a couple nights in jail here. You're going to have to go to court in the morning on Monday. And I'm like, I'm not doing any of that. Like, I'm getting the fuck out of here. I don't
fucking this place anymore.
So then, I like freaked out. We spent an hour there and going back and forth. They basically took everything that was in my wallet with the exception of like 100 baht, which is nothing.
Yeah.
It's like a couple bucks. Probably less than 10 bucks. I don't know. I don't remember the conversion. I ended up losing 300 US that night because
of the whole debacle.
In order to get out of that situation, they were asking for X amount of money. I said I didn't have it. But here's what I had, which was like half.
Yeah.
And they accepted that. And then coming out of it, our friends, like, obviously we're in communication with our friends, but they were like, oh, they, like, we could have told you that that was like a trap.
Right.
This type of stuff happens all the time. This is how you avoid it. You don't be nice to them. You don't try to be helpful. You just get the fuck out of there.
Yep.
And that was nuts. Like,
it's quite a learning experience.
It was a tough one. And that was my first 48 hours, like, in that country.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yep. So then.
Yeah. So then there's more. There's more to this story. Remember,
this is the end of the entire thing. It becomes way better after this. It was like so momentous. It was like, it's like that trip was like doing like Molly or something, where like it hits you too quick, it lasts way too long, and then your come down is like actually okay, and then you're a little sad at the end that it's over. So that whole thing happens. Get out of there, go back to the hotel, immediately booked a flight for like one of the more southern regions, like Krabi, and then like hung out on like this resort type, like a really low scale, like resort type thing, and like woke up to like little octopus and starfish kind of like at the foot of my like bungalow situation on the beach.
Nice.
Which is pretty sweet. I mean, the rest of the trip was so mellow, but that was a goddamn nightmare. I'll probably never go back to Bangkok.
For that reason alone.
Yeah, it's just nuts. It's like free reign. Like I didn't really know the people that I was with. I didn't know like that it was an environment like that where like people were just, I mean, like my family's from the Dominican Republic, right?
Yeah.
Like it does get seedy and stuff like that in certain parts of the country, but I didn't know like the immediate downtown where people tell you to go have fun is like laid
the core of
the underbelly.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, because like every country has its underbelly, every city has its underbelly.
Sure.
You know, but that sounds like it sounds like it was very apparent there.
Yeah. Yeah, I should have known better, but you know.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of our polite mm-hmm. interactions that we have here in the U.S., mm-hmm. like returning somebody's phone,
yeah,
don't translate well to other places
necessarily.
And it's surprising, you know, because like we're just so ingrained in us to be polite
when you go other places. Yeah,
yeah,
for sure, and you not know, to be on the defensive.
The defense, yeah, exactly. So that makes sense. You know, I'm lucky. I don't have any really crazy stories like that. I've never been questioned by the police or anything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for me, I think one of my most memorable things is just some of the really great friends that I've met traveling. I have some people in my life now who I talk to regularly. Mm-hmm. We've met up several times since we met in other countries.
Yeah.
Specifically a group of people that I met in Scotland when I was there for the French festival.
Mm-hmm.
I am still in contact with. Actually, my upcoming trip to Dublin, I'm going to be a friend of mine that I met in Edinburgh. She lives in Dublin now.
Cool.
Moved from Spain to Dublin. And so this will be the second time that I've met up with her since she and I met.
Cool.
At a bus stop in Edinburgh. She was asking for directions and trying to make sure she was going the right way. And she and I ended up just riding the bus together that night. When she asked me for directions, we rode the bus together that night, mm-hmm. and ended up hanging out for the rest of the time that I was there.
Sure.
She introduced me to some German friends that had met on a hike around the northern coast of Scotland. And they had landed in Edinburgh for the French festival. And so the night we rode the bus together, she invited me to a performance. It was like a Cirque du Soleil performance,
mm-hmm.
but it was a gay Cirque du Soleil, essentially.
Okay.
It was so good. So you know, it's a bunch of just
like
acrobatic 100. Guys doing like the rings on the air, you know.
Sure.
Like the giant metal ring.
Yeah,
he's like doing acrobatics on the big giant metal ring.
Yeah.
And then just like kind of a variety show, drag queens, things like that. It was fun. It was a lot of fun. But that's where I met one of my German friends who introduced me to some other German friends, Greek friends, French, mm-hmm. you know, they all met on the trail together. And so we ended up spending the entire week together because it was just this great experience just spending time together. So.
Yeah. You just like, that's like not the first time I've heard. And I do want to have one of these experiences where I go to another country and I find my group that's going to rally me to like kind of and carry me through the trip and say yes to things, because I would be, if traveling, one thing that I've learned about myself is that I wanted to champion the world traveling alone, which is why I've taken a lot of trips. I dedicate 2 weeks up until recently, 2 weeks a year where I'll leave the country and go somewhere I've never been.
Yeah.
And it's me championing myself to grow outside of my like introversion because I don't have a whole lot of friends.
Yeah.
And I don't feel, I just don't feel the need to be super social.
And it's like, a funny thing trying to get away from your introvert
mm-hmm.
qualities
mm-hmm.
by traveling alone.
By traveling alone. And then try to champion that by like exploring with other people or like trying to identify other people that are maybe experiencing the same thing
absolutely
as you are. And then you band together. But that's not, my friends, I have one friend in particular that goes to Italy every year. And, but then like takes the liberties outside of like whenever he's with his family, he'll go and meet up with folks. He'll stay at a hostel and then make it a point to try to rally these people all together.
Uh-huh.
And then have a week in like Amsterdam or, wherever.
Yeah.
And it's a weird, it's an interesting vetting process that I feel like a lot of people have from the States, and I'm sure this happens, vice versa with other folks, but it's an interesting way to vet the people that you kind of have as lifelong friends because, we don't go to bars here or we don't like go to like social gatherings here and like accrue
new people.
You know what I mean? Like it's
we go out with our friend or our friends and we stick with that group.
Yeah.
And I noticed that when I travel with other people too, mm-hmm. is that, you know, when you go with somebody else, you're kind of closed off mm-hmm. to those new experiences.
Sure.
It's a little bit more planned. It's a little bit more regimented. Like,
'cause you're just like, no new friends. Like we've got us and we don't need to deal with you. Right. Yeah.
Well, and it's similar to like, there's definitely a difference traveling with a partner that you're dating and traveling with a friend as well, you know, because I think there's something, unless your partner is definitely the right person to mm-hmm. do this, traveling with a friend, that person has, in my experience, you know, is more likely to be open to meeting new people.
Yeah,
you know?
For sure.
I went to Amsterdam with a friend of mine, a German friend of mine, and she was all about meeting new people.
Yeah.
And, you know, she and I actually one night ended up meeting these two French guys and hanging out with them for a while, mm-hmm. which ended up being a pretty strange experience because they had been in Amsterdam for a little while and were like recommending some things and taking mm-hmm. us to some places. And they took us to a couple of cool places, but they ended up being a little kind of sketchy, you know? and we actually did the typical Amsterdam thing, went to a coffee shop, and the product they had there was not very strong.
Mm-hmm.
So me and my German friend were not very affected by it, but the two French guys were very much affected by it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it changed the whole dynamic of the night hanging out with these guys, and we never talked to them again. Right? Like they went to their hotel or wherever they were staying, and we went our way, and that was it.
Yeah.
You know, whereas these other bonds that I've created with people traveling alone, like, you know, I still talk to them to this day.
Yeah. I wish I had stayed in touch with, I mean, there were other crazy circumstances revolving the people that I had kind of encountered while traveling. And I don't know if I track that naturally or what, but, there's a
sense. You're a magnet for drama.
No, that's a real thing. But also, there's like this romance in like doing you championing this thing alone. People tell you like you shouldn't go to different parts of the world alone if you don't know the place, you know, if you've never been there, if you don't speak the language and blah blah blah. But for me, the energy and like the romanticism of me like in my brain going, this is a challenge for me.
Yeah.
And when I get there, I'm gonna do as much as I can or like within my limits, like explore the world outside of my own. And you do have this, like, you do get like highs from it. You go, holy shit, like I'm doing this alone. This is a very difficult thing. Not many people get to do this.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Right. Like most people don't leave like the town that they grow up in.
Right.
Statistically.
Yeah. Guys, so on that note real quick, I just want to let you know, we're talking about traveling. We're not necessarily just talking about international travel,
mm-hmm.
okay? There are opportunities to travel outside of your hometown
mm-hmm.
go to a different nearby state. You know, the U.S. is a big country, so those of you guys in the U.S., allow yourself the opportunity to go to a different state and experience how people live.
Sure.
You'd be really surprised how different the lifestyle can be from one state to the next. Mm-hmm. You know, there are definitely very clear characteristics between Southern, Northern, Eastern, Western, Central in the U.S. because it's such a big country and the cultures really do vary quite a bit.
Yeah.
Get outside of your city.
Yeah.
Guys, like, that's one of the big reasons we're doing this episode is to encourage you guys to go outside of what you know.
Yeah, for sure. To add to that, I thought that the wonder and travel was leaving the States because the variety for me had all been kind of showcased to me, born and raised in New York, kind of experiencing all the different types of people that come from all over the world. For me, my understanding was that everyone is the way that they are when they come to New York City, and I don't have to see the rest of my country because most of the folks that are coming to New York are escaping their know-nothing town all over the country, right?
Right.
But then, you know, I was given these opportunities to kind of venture out into, through work, I had kind of gone out into, like, even if a place as close as, like, Philly is so different from back home.
Yeah.
And the way folks live there and the type of community that exists there is, like, very much, it's like Williamsburg, Brooklyn on steroids. Like, there's much more artists and like, affordable spaces and all these, like, crazy contemporary things going on and vintage this and thrift that. And but it's a cool, it's a cute, like, charming town with all this, like, really interesting food and people. And then you go to, like one of my favorite places is Austin, Texas.
Great city.
Particularly great. Between, like, the college and up to Round Rock, even, like, there were some of the nicest people, nicest families that I had ever met. And that kind of introduced me to a lot of, like, niche Southern style cooking and you know, you think of Texas and you go, it's whitewashed, it's like one thing all across the board,
but horses and cowboy hats and that's it.
But Texas is so much more than that.
Absolutely. And, I mean, you know I grew up there, like, yeah. I spent 18 years in San Antonio, Texas.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I know that very well. San Antonio is one of the most diverse cities in the state. One of the most diverse cities that I've been to because
it's a good town.
I mean, when you're flying into it, it's just like, man, this looks boring. It looks flat and boring. But when you get into the city, there's so much culture there.
Sure.
There's so many influences from different countries, different types of people. That the music is different than anything you'll hear anywhere else. The food is different than anywhere else.
Folks are more outgoing, more experimental. It's more like it's art. It's very like it's liberal in the creative.
It's conservative,
sense.
Liberal, liberally conservative,
conservatively liberal,
something like that. But point is, guys, it is amazing the contrast from one city to the next, one state to the next in this country. Mm-hmm. And I would venture to say that's true in most countries. Southern Germany and Northern Germany, Northern Mexico, Southern Mexico. Mm-hmm. I honestly, everywhere that I've been so far, the culture varies so much, even within countries, that it's worth exploring and it's worth having the experience so you can understand how people live differently.
There's no shortage of people in my life that have never been on a plane left the parameters of the US, but it's also like, I think there's a sweeping generalization that a lot of the country is the same in that, the country split up amongst the kind of just the few, macro regions that you can, like, think of in your mind. Like, California is different than New England, is different than the South, is different than the East Coast, you know?
Yep.
And if you're starting, especially if you're curious about the world and you want to kind of get out, maybe you're younger, maybe you don't have as much discretionary income or whatever, but you have some liberties or you have some time and you want to be the person that explores and travels a little bit. Just finding deals to fly to like the next biggest city for, you know, round trip for like $60 is such a value added, and using like Airbnb, your advantage, or like the couchsurfing.com.
At the end of the episode, guys, we'll go through a few things for you, resources for traveling inexpensively.
Mm-hmm.
There are ways to do this. I mean, if you're traveling to see family or you're traveling across the states,
yeah,
often it's the same price, if not cheaper, to go to a different country. Right?
Yeah.
So we'll offer you guys some resources at the end of the episode for that.
For sure. Like, I'll flick through, I'll like just check my emails. There's a couple of websites I would love to share that I use routinely. And I book like way in advance. Like I plan way in advance so that I have no excuse to not go by the time I get there, and I don't pay the insurance. Like I just go and do the thing.
Yeah.
But like, I'll just, you know, Jenny's talking about like, I need to go home. I need to see my family. And I do have to be sensitive about that stuff, because I'm a little bit, I talk to, like, I'll FaceTime my mom, like, almost every day.
Yeah.
I'll talk to my brother, like, calls me almost every day. I'm very close with my immediate family.
But it's not as important for you to see them physically necessarily.
Right. Yeah. But it is for her, and she's got to plan, you know, trips to go back to New York. And, you know, we all know New York is expensive. She's looking at flights, and the flights can be $400 to $600 trip, you know what I mean?
Well, and the only reason when I was a kid, the only reason I remember traveling is to go see family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with my family, we never went on vacation per se, right? Mm-hmm. We were always going to see grandparents or aunts and uncles, or
that was your vacation.
You know, things like that. That was vacation.
Right.
And so as an adult now, I have a new understanding of vacation, mm-hmm. And I value learning, and I value understanding other people.
Sure.
Hence the whole mental health aspect of what I'm doing with my life in general.
Yeah.
Because I like to understand other people.
Yeah, for sure.
And where they come from.
Yeah.
How they got there. You know.
Yeah. It's one thing to continue to revisit. I know a lot of people do this as the one time they get out of their home and like town every year, is to just go visit some folks that are down in like still down in like Richmond, Virginia, you know, that have been for decades and decades.
Right. All the hillbillies and
but it is, and my family's like fairly spread out in a lot of major cities. It's important for me to see those folks, but it's equally important for me to decidedly go, I've never been to this place before. Or even if there's one place that you'd like to go that isn't within your comfort zone, continually, like, get out of your home and go to the thing, because it is a value added. Like, just taking time away from the place that kind of harbors your cult. You need an outside perspective on your own life, and sometimes it's from yourself. Yeah. So when I go to, like, if I do some extended weekend somewhere, because I often think about, like, where it is, like, I'm gonna have to live in this country when I retire, right? And the world outside of what I know may not be safe enough for me to, like I wanna live in Japan. Who knows if it's still gonna be there in 30 years, right?
Right, yeah.
So I think I often think about, or even here, but I think about, like, the places that I would wanna live long-term when I can't do anymore. And that's kind of, like, always in the back of my mind whenever I go to, like, explore a new place. It's like, do I think that I could, like, live here forever? And for me, coming from a place like New York and having seen a lot of the country, I know there's places that are beautiful and conducive to, like, my lifestyle. But for me, Seattle is, like, one of those places where I feel, you know.
At home.
Yeah.
Yeah. Within, that's the same for me, too. Yeah. Within the U.S.
I just feel totally comfortable here. I feel like I'm like, oh, I get the city and I get some nature whenever I want, like,
art,
on the weekends,
music, nature, all of the things,
everything
that are important to
it's changing,
like us.
Yeah, it's changing. It's every neighborhood is super accessible. There's different people kind of flowing in and out of the city, and it is, you know, there's some downside to it, but there's a lot of, like, good evolution to our personal cultures here.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I like for my partner, it's important for her to go back home, and then intermittently, like, I don't mean this to be facetious, but I'll be looking, like, through my email, and I'll see something come through that says, like, you know, $242 round trip, Seattle to Paris.
Right.
Like,
why not?
Exactly.
Why not go to Paris?
All while she's like, well, I gotta go see my family, like,
for $400 round trip
yeah.
minimum
and, yeah,
to
yeah,
go to New York.
So go back home and have a terrible time and be cold.
All right, so how would you say that personally travel has impacted your perspective on the world, on life?
So I think, for one, it's always refreshing to not be where you are every goddamn day of your life.
Yeah.
Right? It doesn't matter what your environment's like. If you live in like beautiful Calabasas, you know, every day becomes routine and eventually you become sick of that. And people are, while we're creatures of habit, we still want like this new refreshing kind of perspective on you want to revitalize like your day to day.
Yeah.
You want to have a different experience every single day. Otherwise it's just this like monotony or this like this imprisonment of insanity, the same exact things happening every single day. So
right.
I like the part when the second I land, it's just completely different and there's endless opportunity somewhere, right?
Yeah.
And you can create your path there. Like it's your time off.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to be doing, I mean, there are people that travel for work, but the majority of us traveling to another place are not there for work. We're there to kind of enjoy the environment or just to take time away from what we're used to. And in that, there's endless opportunity. Maybe you're going somewhere for weather. Maybe you're going somewhere for like a different type of setting or whatever, or like a beach environment.
Yeah. You want to get something somewhere tropical where it's warmer than what you're stuck in or whatever. And I think that's one of the biggest things is disconnecting. Mm-hmm. Disconnecting from the responsibilities, the normal responsibilities, right?
Sure.
And giving yourself the opportunity to like see things from a different outside perspective or
just
whatever.
Variety is super important. Stimulates your mind. I mean, like, I know whenever I've traveled away, like it just gets me going. I'm a very like inventive person when I'm in a new space. So I think about like the way that people are in this environment, why they are the way that they are. I learned a little bit about the history and I understand like why places look the way that they do.
Yeah.
And like why food is a very big part of my life. And so I try to understand and delve into like, you know, why is it that in this one, region of this country, like everything has goddamn coconut milk in it.
Right.
It's like rice with coconut milk and a little bit of beef on top, or like every beer has a little bit of coconut in it. And then you realize like it's, it's just
a major commodity.
Yeah. There's something ingrained in the culture there. Something happened, some war situation changed the dynamic of food in the specific areas. And so you dive into, you know, why, then you start to meet a lot of people that are not local, but they ended up there. And then you start to invest time in why those folks love the place that they live in now.
You start learning about their politics and their religions.
Everything.
And their just, like you said, the historical culture,
just,
cultural
just different.
History.
Yeah.
Which it gives you really good insight into why people act the way they do.
Yeah.
And, you know, for me, until we're able to step outside of our immediate bubble, I don't believe we really have the ability to judge or fully make decisions about anything.
You have no clue
right.
what the underlying culture of another people are until you're immersed in that, culture.
Or even the experience of another person.
Sure.
Like somebody, you know, for me, when I started understanding people outside of what I was used to, what I grew up with, which was a very cookie cutter Christian perspective on like modern American Christian perspective specifically on life. It wasn't until I started stepping outside of that and getting to understand and know people outside of that, that I realized that it wasn't necessarily right.
Yeah.
You know? And until you're willing and able to put yourself outside of your bubble, you can't truly understand the people around you and tell them what they should or shouldn't be doing.
Sure.
You know,
there's like a wonder and a fresh perspective. There's there's a lot of good that comes from experiencing a new place and new people. And it helps you contextualize, like people need to understand. I love being in a place where your problems don't matter to anybody. You know what I mean? Like, you realize how small you are in
you don't know anybody, they don't care about you.
Yeah. That's it. And you literally get put in your place and you understand it doesn't matter where you're from or like, you could be Scottie Pippen going to Lao, and I guarantee you.
Hold up.
No.
Scottie Pippen is a little bit of a dated reference. I feel like.
What's the other guy with the hair? Whatever. Like, you could be.
Try something a little bit more updated.
You could be like a TikTok dude.
A TikTok
or chick, whatever. And people know you here on the app, and then you go to like Lao, or you go to like Madagascar, whatever. Nobody gives a shit who you are. You're there. You're just living in someone else's life and like experiencing their culture without the context of the greater sense of who you are.
Right.
Yeah.
And like, I think that's one of the biggest realizations that I had after traveling is that my life is insignificant.
So nothing.
To literally
your
everybody.
Problems are so nothing to other people.
Right. So all of the worries that I had like because of my insecurities or whatever about like, oh, why is this person treating me this way? What did I do?
Yeah.
How did I upset them?
Yeah.
Like, it shifted from that to what's going on in this person's life.
Yeah.
Are they okay?
Yeah.
Right? Because chances are 99% of the time they aren't giving me the time of day. They aren't thinking about me.
Mm-hmm.
They don't care.
Yeah.
Right? Especially coworkers, bosses, things like that. Most of the time, the way they're treating me has nothing to do with me.
Right.
And I didn't recognize that fully until I started traveling and realized the grandeur of the world that we live
in. People are busy doing what they gotta do in order to cope or get through whatever it is that they're getting through. Most of us are living a life reactive to the people around us or the things that are going on around us. And there's very few people that get a greater sense of self. Who can actually take a step back and go, you know, being in a situation where other people are acting a way towards me,
right,
or things are happening in my life, or circumstances revolving around my life are enacted on by things that you can't control.
Right.
But it does help you exploring other places and being in a place where you're literally so insignificant to everything almost gives you a lot of empowerment and significance to yourself.
Right. There's a sense of freedom in it, in realizing that you're insignificant.
Sure. I wish everyone could live, like, the ideal state would be you have the resources that you need to live wherever you want on the planet or explore whatever you want, whenever you want. Because that is, for me, an ideal state of being. You understand other people, you understand other things, you can be where you want whenever.
Yeah.
And the sense of, like, optimizing your luxuries and optimizing your things around you kind of dissipate, because when you travel, you have the 5 sets of clothing that you packed.
Absolutely.
And your
one backpack.
Yeah.
And
you hope to God that your cell phone works
right.
with the international SIM in a different country. And you have just enough to get through your trip in your account until you have to come back home.
Yeah.
So,
and guys, that's what I encourage for you. Like, if you do travel, even if it's just to another city for the weekend, just take what you need. Take a backpack, one backpack with what you're going to need for the weekend. It's quite a challenge. Really boiling it down to only the things that you need.
Yeah.
You know, 1 or 2 pairs of pants, a few shirts that you can wash, you know, throughout your trip. And being okay with not looking different every day, you know, because nobody cares.
Nobody gives a shit.
Nobody cares how you look from day to day.
Yeah.
As long as you smell good, you're going to be okay.
Yeah.
And I mean, the thing is, like, we all have our personal views. We have our personal values. And like I was saying, I think my biggest perspective change on that came when I started traveling and realizing that despite our religions and our morals and, like, regional morals, things like that, people are all very similar.
Mm-hmm.
Very similar in what they want out of life.
Yeah.
Right? They're I mean, we've talked about it before, Maslow's hierarchy of needs. There's definitely some validity in that,
mm-hmm.
right? We're all seeking the same things in life.
Yeah.
And so when you boil it down to that and you start talking to people from different countries, and I remember having a really great conversation with these guys from Iraq that just really opened my eyes to how much they desire freedom.
Sure.
And they desire individuality.
We want the same things.
Right. And that's why they're here.
All across the planet.
Everyone wants
a lot of the same stuff.
Right.
But we often get bogged down and like enroped in these like big, right now, the thing is like these big political concaves, like where we're being boxed and packaged and we're very particular people now.
It's very black and white. It has to be this or that.
Yeah.
That or this.
Yeah.
And there's no in between. And yeah.
Which is like not the best way to live. Like there's a there might be a culmination of people that believe in one specific thing, but the general population want to just be healthy. They want to be happy. They want some form of freedom. They want some form of consistency with like creating a good financial baseline. And then outside of that, good relationships, and that's it.
Yeah.
There's not a whole lot. There's not a whole lot of swinging dramatic things that people want outside of that.
Yeah.
As you go and explore the rest of the planet, honestly, just having traveled to just a few major cities in the States, everyone is all about getting together after work, having a good time, meeting up on the weekends, check out a couple markets, check out a couple restaurants, check out a couple bars.
Literally everywhere you go.
It's the same shit as going back home, but there's just a different cadence. There's a different style of doing things. It's a...
Right. Dinner at 9 p.m. instead of 6 p.m. in Spain.
Yeah.
You know, like, whatever. Different things like that. So,
yeah.
So anyway, point is, guys, please try to get outside of what you know.
Yeah.
Before you tell others they're wrong,
yep.
in what they believe or how they act. That's the whole point in this, is giving yourself some perspective outside of what you know. I grew up for years with a very specific religious perspective, and it wasn't until I started venturing outside of that on my own accord that I started realizing that so many religions are very similar at their core,
mm-hmm.
right? At their core.
At their core, it's a lot of the same stuff.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
That story's just been reinterpreted
right.
to fit the normal construct of every
other based place. Off of historical happenings
sure.
and things like that.
Yeah.
Right. So that's a whole obviously a whole different conversation. But my point is, like, don't narrow other people into your box because you're not willing to step outside of it.
Mm-hmm.
That's not fair to anybody, honestly.
Sure.
Moving into some ways to do that.
Yeah.
Right? We have so many options now in terms of experiencing new things. The world is literally at our fingertips. We've got it right here. You have so many resources
sure.
to get yourself out there and figure out like what the world has to offer.
Yeah.
First thing that I would recommend is Google Flights.
Yeah.
And it sounds resource. Yeah, it sounds kind of
cutting it straight
easy
narrow.
Simple, but yeah. you look up Google Flights and that's where you're going to find the best deals on flights to go yeah. to go somewhere. They're going to give you every option you possibly have
sure.
in terms of getting somewhere. My most recent trip that I'm going to be going on in March to Dublin, $400 round trip
mm-hmm.
to Dublin. All right. That's what it costs me to go to San Antonio on a bad week.
Yeah.
Right. Which is my home. I mean, San Antonio is my hometown. And so it's like,
yeah,
if I could go to Texas or to
Europe,
I'm
gonna go to Europe, and that's kind of like that's one of the things that I have to work on, just kind of compromising on is I'm thinking as a I have to think as a collective now rather than just an individual, and so I do have to compromise when I'm going to go to a specific place at certain times of year. There are really good resources. Some of my favorite are, you can use Google Flights if you're looking at a specific time frame, but if you have some level of flexibility as to when you can go to a place, or if you just want to simply leave but you don't have any direction an idea of where you want to go, Skiplagged is really big for me. It's kind of like a layover website. So skiplagged.com will do flights. If you download the app, you do your home city, and then it'll show you the best or the cheapest deals over the course of 4 to 6 months for you to go round trip. And like right now, if I open the app, I'm sure there's like 10 round trip flights that I could take in the next 3 to 4 months.
Yep.
For less than $100.
Oh yeah, I'm sure.
Which is absolutely sick. So I use Skiplagged a lot, and it shows you like, there's like a tracker that shows you when the cheapest time to fly is. If you have like, if you're pretty flexible on like dates over the course of a week, it'll give you its peaks and then its lows.
Yeah.
It's like one of my favorite websites
to use. And that's Skip, S-K-I-P-L-A-G?
S-K-I-P-L-A-G-G-E-D.com. And then there's also an app.
Like Jet Lagged, except
Skiplagged.
Lagged.
Exactly. Yeah. Like right now I could go, quick weekend trip, extended weekend trip. I could go Salt Lake City, $90. San Francisco, $80.
Which is amazing for a round trip ticket.
New York, 137.
Wow, that's big.
Yeah,
I mean that's quite a distance to go for $137. So, I mean, guys, we're just talking about flights right now.
Sure.
All right. Aside from that, you've got couchsurfing.com.
Couchsurfing.com.
If you're willing to meet new people for one, and two, just to kind of accept an environment that you might not, be fully aware of, literally sleeping on somebody's couch in their living room.
Yeah.
It's free.
It's
completely free.
Right.
Which is a huge deal.
Sure.
Obviously you have Airbnb.
Airbnb is my favorite.
Rooms.
I have a really good rapport on Airbnb. Airbnb is my absolute favorite, because I'll book my flight in advance. I have a rule. I need 3 months before I can do anything. You can generally find like some pretty affordable options outside of 3 months from when you're looking. And then Airbnb immediately after.
Yeah.
If I book the flights and I look for the Airbnb, and it's okay to break it up into like a couple different stays, but it is going to be cheaper because of that service fee, the cleaning fee and all that.
Yeah, totally.
So you find a really good spot where you don't need a vehicle in the downtown area of the city.
Yep.
And then you
walking
distance.
Quite honestly, guys, and this is another thing in the U.S. that we take for granted. Like, if you can walk to the city center in 30 minutes, do it.
Yeah. If you can be in it and spend a little bit more, you got to do the math too. So I do things logistically like, I know that Uber or Lyft is going to cost me like $17 to traverse this entire city. So why wouldn't I stay in the most immediate city center kind of area where I don't have to take the trips as often?
Right.
But pay maybe like $20 more per night.
Yeah.
On the stay and be a little bit more comfortable and accessible to the things that I want to do. Totally. You don't have to see everything the first time that you go to a city. You just want to do enough and keep yourself busy and kind of explore enough.
Right.
That if you decide that you want to come back, then you know the city a little bit better. You can come with someone else. You can come with a group of friends, whatever. And do some other things or have the takeaways that you did the first time you went there.
Yeah.
Skiplagged is great. Secretflying.com is another incredible one. And this is more of a major city to some other country type thing where it's like flash deals, error fares. That you can like literally click into, and within the next couple of months you could be here to like Abu Dhabi for $300 round trip, no problem. Book your B&B, book your cheap hotel through whatever Kayak or whatever.
Right.
Into cheap, less than $600 vacation.
Yeah.
You know.
And that's what it comes down to, guys. Do your research. If you want to go somewhere, there are ways to get there affordably. And then also, when it comes down to it, as long as you've got your flight and a place to stay, you're good.
Yeah.
You can go to a grocery store and you can get your food at the local markets. Sure. You don't have to go to restaurants all the time. You don't have to do that stuff. Like, if you want to experience the country, get a place that has a kitchen.
Yep.
Inexpensively. And
go to the supermarket, grab weird shit, come back, experiment with it. There's nothing wrong with that. When we did Japan, we didn't have a kitchen, so we kind of explored the towns and stuff like that. We did have a kitchen in one of the B&Bs, and we decided to just make ramen.
Yeah.
Like, just like
get some eggs, veggies and some noodles,
black garlic, weird scallions, like, yeah, and just make dinner at home. And even that is like you don't have to go all out and like eat out every single night. You just get a spot with the kitchen and just kind of kick it.
Exactly. Honestly, one of my favorite experiences was staying in Barcelona on the kind of the outside edges of Barcelona.
Mm-hmm.
And they have beautiful organic markets and things like that there.
Yeah.
And it's inexpensive.
Sure.
Spain is one of the least expensive countries that I've been to so far, where you can just get there and you can eat inexpensively.
Yeah.
You can go out and drink inexpensively.
Foods.
Yeah. And cook them at home.
Yep.
And it's a lot of fun that way.
Sure.
Because you feel a little bit more like a local, like you're going mm-hmm. home to your apartment and
yeah.
cooking a meal, right? So, if you have any questions about travel and you'd like to get yourself out somewhere new, you can always message us, obviously on Instagram at @into_dark_blue on Instagram, or you can go to intothedarkblue.com and message us there at the bottom of the screen. There's a message form that you can use to send us your questions and that sort of thing as well. So a lot of options for you guys out there. Please educate yourselves. Please give yourselves the opportunity to experience life outside of what you know.
What else?
The beer is basically gone, so that means I think it's time to wrap up.
Yeah, for sure. It's a great time here.
Yeah, thanks for joining me again.
That was a good one.
Appreciate it. And we'll talk soon.
Let me just take a second to say I am wearing this new Sheath gear and I'm freaking loving it. We're working with some friends at Sheath Underwear, and for you guys who haven't heard of it, it's like upgrading from a studio apartment to a two-bedroom for your junk. There's no rubbing, there's no chafing, and I refuse to wear anything else.
I'm wearing some right now. I've got a Sheath hat on. They have more than just underwear, and I basically switched out my entire wardrobe of underwear for these Sheath ones. They're amazing.
Yeah. Go to sheathunderwear.com and use the promo code DARKBLUE, all caps DARKBLUE, and get 25% off your first order. That's a big deal, guys. Like, seriously.
It is. It's awesome.